Hannah, you start today with what we hope is a sweep issue. Paper 11, for those of you who are following on the phone. It is now.
Thank you. Morning, everybody. Yes, I'm hoping this is the last issue I need to bring before you before I take our proposed draft interpretation to the IASB, and then following on from that, if nothing arises from that meeting, we'll go on to the balloting stage as we agreed at the last meeting. The issue is set out in Agenda Paper 11, and it addresses a concern that's arisen about a possible conflict between our proposed interpretation and the requirement in IS 21 about the presentation of exchange differences.
Has joined the conference.
Arising on monetary items in profit or loss. You may be aware the particular paragraphs we're talking about are paragraphs 28 and 29 in IS 21, and these require that exchange differences that arise on the subsequent retranslation or settlement of monetary items, which obviously includes trade receivables and trade payables, that they should be recognised in profit or loss in the period in which they arise. There are a few exceptions to that that are specified in the standard. Now, neither IS 21 nor IS 1 on presentation states about which line item within profit or loss such exchange differences should be presented. And so there's clearly some flexibility and depending on particular circumstances. Now, our proposed interpretation specifies the exchange rate to use on the initial recognition of a foreign currency transaction. And the concern arises because this is potentially could be seen as implying that exchange differences on monetary items, such as our trade receivables or trade payables that are connected with that foreign currency transaction, shouldn't also be recognised in the same line item. For example, revenue or cost of sales. Now, in developing the proposed draft interpretation, we didn't intend to address this particular aspect of IS 21 and where exchange differences arising on the translation of monetary items should be presented in profit or loss. And I think this is quite a separate issue from that we're addressing in the interpretation, which is about the recognition of or what exchange rate to use on the initial recognition of a foreign currency transaction. And I don't think we should try and attempt to deal with it as part of the interpretation. So just to avoid confusion, what we're proposing is to just simply explain in the basis for conclusions of the draft interpretation that we're not addressing, it doesn't address the presentation of exchange differences on the settlement or retranslation of monetary items without going any further into the issue. I just wanted to confirm with you that you would be happy to have such an explanation included in the basis for conclusions.
Comments? John?
I mean, my inclination would be to be silent on it. I agree it's not interpreting paragraph 28 of IAS 21, but I think making a comment that acknowledges that people might include FX gains and losses on receivables in revenue maybe is not needed. And is overstating it. I mean, I think to me the interpretation doesn't say anything about the presentation of FX gains and losses in the income statement, and I don't know that it needs to acknowledge. I don't know that we need to close a loophole that I don't sort of think is there. So.
Bruce?
I'm in the same boat as John. I guess when I read it, I kind of thought to myself, I hadn't even really gone there when I first read the draft in terms of interpretation. And I guess my concern would be if we start addressing it, I think we're going to raise a question. As opposed to addressing it. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I hadn't really seen the issue as something we were addressing in the City House, so I didn't really think it was something we need to even comment on.
Tony?
Same comment as Bruce and John. I think we should be silent. I think including the statement perhaps opens a box and perhaps suggests there might be some flexibility where there isn't. And we've concluded that this isn't the exchange differences aren't variable consideration, and I'd be very nervous about giving anybody a hint that you could put exchange differences into revenue, because I think they just don't meet the definition. So I agree with Hannah that we shouldn't address it. I just would much rather we were silent.
Miguel?
I was quite happy to see that we had a discussion here and we came up to this conclusion or solution on this interpretation, because yes, it might be so that it's not revenue. It might be. But that is an IFRS 15 interpretation there. And now we're talking about IS 21. And in this standard, there is no indication on what line this should turn up. And also in the IS 1, there is no such guidance. And as pointed out in the document here, there are probably different practices, and potentially you should come up with a solution there, but that is not what we have discussed, and it's not what is part of the IS 21 standard. So I think it's very good to define that, that this is actually not what we have addressed.
Going to the phones, Bonnie, anything to add?
I think my comment is with the first several folks that spoke. I don't really see that this is an issue, and I'm not sure it's relevant to add something. I don't remember who said it, but I think by specifically calling it out, it may raise some questions that aren't really there. So I would prefer to keep it out.
Okay. Hey, Long?
I agree the staff reviews of not addressing it, given it is another topic. But however, I do not prefer to having explanation in the basis. If really needed, we should look at that the proposed wording carefully.
Okay. Martin?
Yeah, I believe the geography of foreign exchange gains and losses so far is not overall clear. There are certain policies in place, so therefore, I do not believe that there could be any misunderstandings, and therefore I agree with Tony and also Andrew, not to add it.
So you would not?
I would not.
Okay. Okay, that seems to be a building consensus, but let's do a show of hands. Those who would accept the staff recommendation to add something in the basis for conclusions, those in favor of that? Okay, I assume everybody else votes no. Bonnie and Fei Long, I have you down as both voting no.
That's correct.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
So we will proceed with it as it was before. Okay. So the next step is that this goes to the board.
Yep. Yeah, go to the board.
And they have to not object to exposing it. That's correct?
Yes, that's right. Okay. Yep.
All right, I suppose it's appropriate now to ask, is there anyone who would plan to dissent? Okay. I feel duty-bound because we haven't had that many things around here that anybody could have had an opportunity to dissent. Dissent is your judgment. The IASB has typically, and I think still does, take the view that the basis for dissent is that the world would be a better place if the document never existed at all. And you believe that to be the case?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not, I think you're going to due process, it's not a officially a dissent because there's general consensus, I think, from everybody else. But I think the due process does mean that if there are members of the interpretations committee that take a different view, then we have to explain that view in the basis for conclusions.
That sounds an awful lot like a dissent, doesn't it?
Well, it's not.
By all but name.
Yeah.
By all but name, yeah.
Not officially.
But. Okay. All right, well, that's done then.
Okay.